tonight to start with, please, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. John, chapter number 3. We're thinking on this thought tonight, questions that I've been asked. Questions that I've been asked. In the time I've been in the ministry, I've been asked very many questions. Some of them were very foolish questions, some of them unreasonable questions. Some were just questions as if they thought if they stumped me, they could some way or another that would cause them to have stumped God also. And I assure you, there's a vast difference between stumping the preacher and stumping the Lord. I remember one of the questions that you used to hear often, and they've kind of given up on it, I guess, is where did Cain get his wife? I remember when I was a young fella, probably 14 or 15 years old, going to a community church. It was owned by Presbyterians, and they couldn't keep anybody there, so whoever wanted to come and preach there just about did. And there was a Presbyterian preacher there at this time, and I asked him one day as I got to thinking about Adam and Eve and all these kids that they must have had. I just thought, wow, that's some kind of a family. And so I asked him, I said, is it really true that two people are responsible for all these people? He said, well, now, young man, you know, things like that are easily understood if you just stop and think a little bit. Really, what happened probably is that God created several other couples, maybe even many other couples, and he just doesn't tell us about them, and so that's the reason there's so many people in the world. Now, you run along and don't ask any more questions. Well, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. First off, if you happen to be one of the descendants of some other family besides Adam and Eve, you're not a sinner. You didn't sin after the similitude of Adam, so you're whoa, boy, that'd be a dangerous doctrine to get started, wouldn't it? And yet he told me that as about a 14-year-old boy, and I just thought, well, who knows? Who knows? But after I got saved, we had another visit, and it went a little bit different than that first visit, or that one visit. So it's good. Where did Cain get his wife? Well, some ask, though I think there's some very foolish questions, there's some that are very serious, and they need an accurate and an honest answer to them. And that means they should be answered by the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Another thing I learned through life, when I was going to school, a teacher would say, does anyone have any questions? Does anyone have any questions? And no one would raise their hand. And so he would usually say something like this. Listen, you need to understand, if you have a question, you need to ask it, because probably several other people have the same question and they're just afraid to ask the question. And so sometimes when one person has a question, there are several questions really linking up to that. Some of the questions we hear is, what is the next prophetic thing on the calendar? What's the next thing prophetically that's supposed to happen? Is it really Armageddon? Are we really hearing about Armageddon? Are we talking about Armageddon? And the news people will come on every once in a while. They'll say something about Armageddon. And is that really what's going to happen? Is the world really going to end? Could the world end during my time? Could the world it's gone during my time? I think those are questions if we're asking an honest attitude. Where are the dead right now? Where are people who die in Christ, out of Christ? Where are they? And then do people in heaven know what we're doing here on earth? You ever stop to think about that? Do people in heaven know what we on earth are doing? What about the doctrine of soul sleep? Well, you know, he's sleeping. He's sleeping now. He'll be okay. He's sleeping now. Is there a guarantee for salvation? What happens when a baby or a child dies? What happens then? Is traditional religious truths true? Or is the Bible true? What happens when children die? And then, what good are rewards in heaven? You know, we talk about getting our reward when we get to heaven. What good are rewards in heaven? Do they have some type of a barter system up there so that we can do some trading off and so forth? What good are they when we get there? Well, when we think about which one of those questions ought to be asked first, it's kind of difficult to figure out which one was first because they're all kind of intertwined with one another. They all come out of the same book. And so we want to start tonight on what happens when one dies. What happens when one dies? Death is certainly the most certain, most guaranteed thing on each of our calendars as we look forward today. It comes to everyone. It comes to everyone, regardless of their color, regardless of their race, regardless of their gender, regardless of their financial or educational situation, regardless of their size, regardless of their popularity, regardless of their occupation. It comes. Ready or not, it comes. Like it or not, it comes. It might come in the daytime, it might come in the nighttime, it might come without warning, it might come with plenty of warning. But mark it down, death is seeking each one of us, following after us. Now, yet knowing this, and we stop and think, we know this. We drive by a cemetery and it reminds us. We read something in an obituary column in a newspaper and it reminds us of that. We turn on the TV and it talks about a half a dozen people dying here or dying there, and we're reminded of that. And yet knowing this, we live sometimes as if we were going to live forever. In Psalms chapter 39 and verse number 4, the Bible says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And Psalms 90 and verse number 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, some people teach that the time of death is a special day in a set time. And they base that on Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, I really think that that's dealing with a guaranteed happening rather than a special time, and we'll look more at that a bit later. Job said this, he said, oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. So evidently Job didn't think he had a set time. He said, I'd like for you just to set a time for me, Lord, so that I would know and then remember me. Now, as we look at our Bibles tonight, we want to look at John chapter 3 for a minute, and it's a very familiar portion of Scripture, and sometimes when we read a familiar portion of Scripture, we have a tendency to get careless and to kind of think, well, we know what's coming next, and may I encourage you please to read as we look down through here, John chapter 3, and then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9 in a moment. But the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 3 of the book of John, said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I teach you up heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then drop over to verse number 36, if you will. Jesus says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And then if you go back in your Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 24. The Bible said, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should suffer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so here we see this portion of Scripture, and we ought to consider some things when we think about, is there a special time? You know, we're asking the question, what happens when one dies? Is there a special set time that we're told that we're going to die, or that God knows, God certainly knows, but is there a set time for each person to die? Now, I believe the days of our life can be safeguarded, and we find that in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, with the first promise the first commandment that's made with a promise. Chapter number 6, verse number 1, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. That's reason enough. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The Bible testifies that we can live longer on the earth if we honor our parents, obey our parents, pay attention to them, do what we're supposed to do. And here's the thought. One can honor his parents even after they have deceased. Even after they have died, we can still honor our parents. I believe it still is profitable to us. I believe things go better for us when we honor our parents, even after their death, than they would if we dishonored our parents after they die. In 2 Kings chapter number, we find that time is extended for other people. In 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse number 1 and running through verse 11, we find that Hezekiah prayed that God would somewhere or another show him. He prayed, he confessed his sin, he got his heart right with the Lord, and God said, I'm going to extend your life. And he said, how do I know this? And God said, I'll give you a sign. And he said, do you want the sun to move backward, or do you want it to go forward on the dial? And he said, well, it's nothing for it to go forward, it's going to do that automatically. So let's have it go back. And making a long story short, it went back, the Bible says, by 10 degrees. Do a little bit of math, you find out that that's 40 minutes. So his life there was extended another 40 minutes, at least. Somebody says, what's 40 minutes? I guess it depends on if it's time to die or not. 40 minutes was given to him extra time because he prayed. And here's another thought. So was the life of everyone else on planet Earth. Everyone under the shining of the sun. When God caused the sun to back up 10 degrees, he gave them 40 minutes more in that special day. God did that for them because he loved Hezekiah, wanted to be a blessing to him. And then in Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 13, Joshua said this, and this is paraphrased. He's fighting with the enemies of Israel, and he says, God, if you just give me some more time, I could whip these guys today if we just had a little more time. And God said, son, stand thou still. And God caused the sun to stand still about a whole day. And so their lifetime was extended about a whole day. Someone says, well, how long the time was that? About a whole day. Well, how many minutes was that? Well, about a whole day worth of minutes. Well, how long was that? It was about a whole day. That's what God tells us. And we need to understand that time has, when we think about death and we think about what happens when a person dies, we know that we all have a time when we're going to die, but I'm not sure that time is at all set in concrete. I'm not sure that it can't be altered by the Lord. Certainly it can and has been in the past. Now, with all of this, there still comes a time when death approaches and nothing in the world can cause it to stop. Prayer is not going to stop it. Fasting is not going to stop it. Doctors are not going to stop it. Medicine is not going to stop it. Hospitals are not going to stop it. Protests are not going to stop it. Pickets are not going to stop it. Pouting is not going to stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. It's coming. And we need to understand that. Now, when that happens, when that time comes into our life, whenever that is, what happens when it comes time for us to die? Well, when you go to Luke chapter 16, and we will go over there. We'll not read the whole thing, but we'll go over there. Luke chapter 16, because there's one particular thing I want to show you tonight that perhaps you've not seen before, and maybe you have. It will be refreshing to you if you have. Luke chapter 16, and this story begins in verse number 19. The Bible tells us of two men, and there's quite a difference in these two men. One man was a beggar, and the other man was a rich man, and one didn't go to hell because he is a rich man, nor did the other one go to the Abraham's bosom, which was paradise, because he was a poor man. Had nothing to do with it. God just describes us to those two men, I think, to try to explain to us probably what their attitudes toward life, towards death, towards daily needs and so forth were. But we find that there were two deaths. The Bible says the poor man died, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So there was two deaths, there were two directions, there were two destinations. Now notice what there wasn't. There was no delays, no detours, and no doubt that both of those men were dead. No hearse needed to be called, no funeral needed to be planned, no flowers needed to be bought, no incense needed to be burned, no purgatory was on the rise or on the horizon. They died. Now, the difference between where these two men went, now we'd say certainly that the difference was a relationship, and that relationship is Jesus Christ, but there's one word that man in hell understood made the difference between heaven or the bosom of Abraham, and the place he was, a place called hell. And that one word is found in verse number 20 of our text in chapter 16. The Bible says, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word of God, Abraham says. Let them hear them. And the man said, he answered and said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will, what's the next word? They will repent. And repentance is the difference in where people spend eternity and where they don't. Now, go with me to the New Testament again in 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 5. We're going to read here just a little bit and notice a couple of things that the Lord tells us about our life here on earth and our death when it comes. The Bible says in beginning of verse number 1, for we know. Aren't you glad we can know some things? God doesn't want us to be thinking about things. God doesn't want us to be running around wringing our hands about things, chewing our fingernails down to the quick and being concerned about things. God wants us to know some things. And so he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, what's he talking about? If our body dies, if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, what does he say about that? We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from above, or from heaven. We groan, we moan, we complain, we're weary. All these things, he said, for in this temple, in this tabernacle, we groan and we earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from above. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And so here the Bible tells us that God has given us this guarantee. God has given us this down payment. It's the Spirit. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And would we would live that way, that whether here or there, we're living to please Him, to live for the Lord Jesus. And so the Bible tells us about how it's going to be, that we're in this body, we have problems with this body, we groan in this body, we moan in this body, we complain in this body. But one of these days we're going to step out of this body and we're going to get into a new body that the Lord has made likened to His glorious body and so forth. Well, Luke chapter 23, when we think about what happens when a person dies, Luke chapter 23, the Lord Jesus is on the cross of Calvary. Looking at one or two verses here, verse number 43, Luke chapter 23, verse number 43. Remember, there were two thieves crucified with Jesus, the one on the right hand and one on the left hand. And one of these men is carrying on a conversation with the Lord Jesus. In verse 42, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, period. As we look at this portion of Scripture, we find it that there's no question mark here as far as where he's going to go. The punctuation mark here is found, he said, I say unto thee, comma. And now he's going to make a statement, not a question. In the old world translation of the Bible, which your Jehovah's Witnesses carried when they knock on your door, you want to embarrass a Jehovah's Witness, go knock on his door some night. Because they've been told that nobody goes out and knocks on doors anymore. And they're embarrassed when they're caught at home and you knock on their door. It embarrasses them. You can talk to them. They'll listen to you when you do that. But their old Bible used to say, today, comma, shalt thou be with me in paradise, indicating a question. And it was followed, paradise was followed by a question mark. And incidentally, because this has been coming up so much lately, in verse number 43, Jesus says, today shalt, not today will, but today shalt thou be with me in paradise, speaking of a positive thing, not something that's maybe, well, we'll see, well, we'll have to check the records. Well, no, he didn't do any of that. The man hadn't been baptized, he hadn't joined a church, he probably never gave a nickel in the offering anywhere. He was being crucified, probably for murder and all kinds of sedition and all kinds of sin and plunder and mess and crimes and so forth. And yet Jesus said to him, when he simply said, remember me, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, is talking about how his heart was accepting of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, making that as a definite statement. Now, one day in the past, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, paradise delivered, emptied out, and delivered the souls that were there into a place called heaven. In Luke chapter 19, or 16, and verse number 19, Abraham's bosom was emptied that day, and everyone that was in Abraham's bosom went to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ and were presented in a place called heaven. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8, where the Bible, we've mentioned that several times as we think about the gifts that were given men. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And so there was a time when a man would die and he would go to a place called Abraham's bosom or a place called paradise. It's called both places. And he would wait there for the Lord Jesus to go to heaven and actually present the blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And that opened the door for other people to go. And when Jesus then went into the center of the earth and was there for 72 hours, when he left there, he rose to heaven and applied the blood and took captivity captive. And they went from a good place to a wonderful place called heaven. because they had died. What happens when one dies? It depends on their relationship with the Lord Jesus. It depends on what they've done with that one word called repent. Now, one day, hell, too, will give up the souls that are in it. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Now, the Bible tells me that they are going to be judged according to their works. You know, men today think they can work their way to heaven. They want to be good enough to get there. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. But if you die and go to hell, you're going to be judged for your works there. The Bible says it plain. And that death and hell are actually going to be cast into the lake of fire. When we inadvertently tell people, if you die and go to hell, you'll be in hell forever, that's really not true. That's not completely biblical sound. When you die and go to hell, you'll be in hell until God calls hell up, hell and death, deliver their dead up before God, and then those folk, along with hell, along with death, are cast into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Not prepared for men, but prepared for the devil and his angels. At the time of death, everyone goes immediately to heaven or to hell. Not based on if they're a good grandma or grandpa. Not based on how much money they've given. Not based on their interest in missions or buying Girl Scout cookies or any other such good work. They go to heaven based on whether or not they've ever repented. That means to turn from your sin, to trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, repented and believed the Word of God. You go to heaven. Anything else will take you straight to hell. And someone might say, well, what about children? Well, that's another question I've been asked. And we'll talk about that another time. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.